Today's Father's Day, Sunday, June 17th, 1984, Sunday worship at Airport Gardens Baptist Church.
It is good to have you with us by the means of this tape. God bless you.
At this time, Brother Earl is going to come to read our scripture for us. Taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5.
If you turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. For if I make you sorry, who is he then that maketh me glad, but the same which is made sorry by me? And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Let's bow our heads, please, for a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you, Father, for the privilege of coming to your house to worship. And Father, we thank you for your word, that we can gather together in fellowship around your word and know, Lord, that we'll be blessed. We just pray, Father, that having come this way, that we would grow closer to you and walk closer with you. And Father, we just pray that being here today, that we would be all things you would have us to be, that we would lift up and glorify thy name, and Lord, that we would encourage one another and lift each other up and share one another's burdens. Father, our hearts goes out today for those that we love that are lost and still do not know thee. And we pray, Father, that before it's too late, that our prayers be answered, Lord, and we see them come to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Father, we pray for those that are not with us because they're ill in body or whatever the reason, be with those traveling and away from home. And Father, just help us to love one another and show our love one for another and to lift each other up, Lord, and encourage each other to go on serving you. And Father, we just pray that when the day comes that you come to take us home or you call us out, that we would be found about your business. And our prayers today, Lord, is if there's anyone in our services that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, that before they leave this building, Father, that they would find someone and talk to them, or that the message would point them to Jesus Christ, and that they, Lord, would ask what must they do to be saved. And Father, we pray that by being here today that they would learn that Jesus Christ is the only name given by which men can be saved. We pray, Lord, that if they're lost in here today, that they would know him before it's too late. Be with us, Lord, that all that's said and done would be to lift up and to glorify thy name. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Okay, the last song before our offering today is 373, Onward Christian Soldier. 373.
Thank you.
this time we'd like to have our junior ushers. We'd like to have Steve and Tim, I guess, to come and take up our offering today. Would you all come and take our offering up, please? Steve, would you lead us in prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day and the opportunity to come to your house, Lord, and worship you. We just pray that you'll be with the remainder of the service, Lord, and that it will bless the hearts of each and every one here that can help them in the day of the witness, Lord.
Amen.
Just pray for the ones that are sick and not able to attend today, Lord, that you'll bless them in their lives, Lord, whatever way they need it. Just pray for this offering, Lord, that it will reach a lot of souls for you, Lord, and will do your work. In the name of prayer, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Steve. For that wonderful song, Make Me a Blessing to Some Soul Today. Trust the Lord will make each one of us a blessing to someone else. I'm almost tempted to have Brother Earl come up and introduce Brother Bill Holman. He's the one who wanted us to get Brother Bill, and I second that motion. I third it. Brother Bill has been a blessing to me a long time. I heard him speak one time at Calvary College quite a few years ago. I won't say how many. Brother Earl saw this fellow in the first grade. When Brother Earl was in the first grade, he said. So he's at least 35, aren't you, Brother Bill?
Just about.
Just about. We'd like for you to come and just make yourself at home and he's going to be up to Lothar Baptist Church during the evening service, I believe, with Brother John Horns, the pastor up there. And God bless you, Brother Bill, as you come to speak for us. And Homer and Henry are going to be in the service too today.
Yeah, okay. I thought maybe I'd do that for the kids. God bless you. Yeah, it's a real privilege to get to come. Some of the boys and girls are a little bit far back. They might want to move up at least during that time for Henry and Homer. Just to give a little background for moms and dads, we have the privilege of going into the public schools in 17 counties of eastern Kentucky. And I would say, and I think most of you understand this and agree, that eastern Kentucky is about the last place that the Bible will be kicked out. I think us mountaineers are a little more stubborn than they give us credit for. And we're going to have what we want. Well, we all want it. Obviously, we want it or we wouldn't have it, see. But the ACLU and a few others are going to try to tell us what we want. So all I would say to you is pray for me, because they'll probably be taking me to jail. Or they'll be trying. But we have the privilege of going to 41,000 kids all over eastern Kentucky. And I count it a real privilege. I was not born in Kentucky, but that was not my choice. Had I had my choice, I would have been born in Kentucky. When I finally got to Kentucky, I realized this is the best state in the Union. Amen? I enjoy seeing boys and girls and visiting them. And just to give you a little glimpse of what we do in the schools, we do different things. We try to do different things. And this morning I did some things for the boys and girls, but I thought maybe they'll tell you that I'm a magician, you know. So I thought maybe the best thing for me to do is just bring out my magician's hat, you know, because these boys and girls would just love to see a magician stand up here and show you how a magician does tricks. You know how to do tricks, don't you, kids, huh? All right, now, if you watch real close, you'll see that a magician's got a big, tall hat. Of course, this one's white, and this one's black. Yeah, you kids want to come on up and get on the front row? Because there's nobody sitting on the front row. Glad to have you come up here. And I want you to see now, here's a big old hat, and you know what a magician can pull out of his hat? You just look. What can he pull out of the hat? A rabbit! A white rabbit, huh? What color rabbit do you think I have behind that white hat? A black rabbit, huh? I got a black rabbit here, I got a white rabbit here. Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you want to see them jump?
Yeah.
Okay. Rabbits are supposed to hoppity-hop, hippity-hop and all that kind of stuff, aren't they? Let's see if I can make that white one jump over there and that black one jump over there. You think I can? Watch close now. Did you see him jump?
Yeah.
You did? He saw him jump. All right. If you saw him jump, I kind of agree with you. Now, wait a minute. I'm not trying to fool you. Is that black on both sides?
Yeah.
All right. Is this white on both sides?
Yeah.
You see that? I want you to look at there. That black rabbit is jumped over there, and that white rabbit jumped over there. That's pretty good trick. You ought to see the look on his face. Now, all right, I'll show you. I'm not going to fool you. I'm really going to make them jump. That black one's over there, and that white one's over there, and I'm going to make them jump back. Watch. Did you see them jump back down?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm not fooling you. That is black on both sides, isn't it? Huh?
Yeah.
Is this in white on both sides?
Yeah.
Huh? And I want you to look at there. Right there is that old white one going right back over here. And in the back is over here. Boy, I believe I'll take you with me over where I go. What? You want me to turn it around now? You girls figured it out, didn't you? Now, wait a minute. If you're... I'll turn it around, but first you have to understand, if your heart's got sin, you know, that's what black reminds us of, sin. You have to turn, but you turn to the one that died on the cross and shed his red blood. Right?
Right.
And if you turn to the one that died on the cross and shed his red blood for you and you ask him to forgive you, your heart becomes what color?
Black.
Clean and white and pure, right? That's what you do. Then you're turned toward heaven. You know about heaven, don't you? And when you're turned toward heaven, then you remind
yellow.
Me of the streets of gold. How about that?
Yellow.
Yeah, where'd that come from, huh?
Yellow.
Oh, well, we try to have a little bit of fun with the kids. All right, guys. Get down in there. Henry and Homer. Two little old buddies that's been with me, Brother Earl said. Are they the same fellas that you had back when I was in grade school? Yeah. That's the same one. The same identical fella. I had to repair them a little bit occasionally, but in, but some of them didn't get to come. Can you say hello to everybody?
Yeah.
And tell them your name, will you?
All right. Hi, my name's Henry.
Yeah, this is Henry over here. And tell them your name, Homer. You already did. Well, I know I did, but they want to hear you say it.
Oh, all right. My name's Homer. Howdy.
Howdy. I'm so glad you guys came today. Wait a minute. You fellas this morning in Sunday school is telling these kids a little bit about yourself. Are you boys kin to one another?
You know we are.
Yeah, I know it, but maybe they don't know.
Oh, well, all right, we can tell them.
Good. Henry, is Homer kin to you?
Yeah.
What kin is he to you?
You know.
I know, but they don't know. What kin is he to you?
He's my sister.
No, he's not your sister. Henry, now you know they're your brothers, and you boys better act nice, and we want you to do something for everybody.
Yeah, like what?
Well, I know what, Henry. Could you make a speech for everybody?
What? Do what?
You know, they'd like to hear you make a speech. Could you do that?
Well, all right.
What are you doing?
You're clearing your throat.
Okay, I've got my throat cleared. Now go on and make your speech.
Now, Henry?
Yeah?
You better make it big and loud so they can hear clear in the back.
That's right. You better say it big and loud. Now, you want them all to hear, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, horses and mules.
There are no horses or mules here today.
Have you ever heard or seen Earl Clemens?
Henry. Not funny. That wasn't nice.
Yeah, you better apologize, Henry.
That's right. He better apologize. You better apologize right now.
Do what?
You don't know about apologizing?
What do you mean?
You were supposed to tell a person that you're sorry when you say things mean to them like that.
How do I do it?
Well, you just turn to him and tell him that.
Oh, all right, Brother Earl.
Yeah.
You're sorry.
No! He's not sorry.
He's the sorriest looking thing I ever saw in my life.
Henry, you're in real trouble now.
No, I'm not. You are now.
Well, somebody is. Now, we didn't come here to make cracks and silly remarks about Earl or anybody else. We came here to talk about more important things, right, Homer?
That's exactly right. Now, come on, Henry. Well, what do you want to do?
I know what we can do.
We can tell them what's the best book in the whole world.
That's a good idea. Henry, I want your help. These boys and girls remember from Sunday school a little bit. What's the best book in the whole world?
I don't know.
You do know. The best book in the whole world. It's a book that boys and girls love to read.
Oh, yeah, I know that book.
Good. What book is it?
That's a comic book.
No, it's not a comic book. Homer, you tell them. It's a book that mothers love to read, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, that book?
Yeah, what book is that?
That's a cookbook.
No, it's not a cookbook. This is a book, the best book in the whole world. You know what I mean? It's a book they carry under their arm going down the road. You've seen them, haven't you?
Oh, you mean that book. You should have said that in the first place.
Well, good. Now that you know what book it is, tell them what book is it.
That's a pocketbook.
No, it's not a pocketbook. Now, why do you say a pocketbook and a comic book?
Well, some kids read a comic book, but not the textbook.
And some carry the pocketbook, huh?
But not the textbook.
And a cookbook, huh?
Yeah, we are being silly. We know what the best book is.
Well, if you know what the best book is, why didn't you say so? What is it?
We can't say that word.
You can't say the word the best for the best book in the whole world?
That's right.
How come you can't say it?
try to say it, you move your lips. I'll try not to move my lips, okay, boys? That's a promise. I'll make a promise to you. I'll try not to move them, okay?
And you promise?
I promise. I know what, Andy. You say it, and I'll lock these lips and make sure they don't move. Now, Homer, all right, I promise I'll try not to move my lips. You go right ahead and you watch, and you go right ahead and you say it, okay?
All right. You be sure to watch me.
Okay. I'm listening. Will you hush up? Go ahead and say it.
All right. The best book in the whole world is the Bible, right, boys and girls?
Right. We know what it is.
And he didn't move his lips. Now, how did he do that?
Well, that's, you know, I'm a ventriloquist.
You're a ventriloquist?
I am a ventriloquist.
What in the world is a ventriloquist?
A ventriloquist. You boys really want to know?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you. See, usually there's two people.
Yeah.
In our case, there's three of us sitting up here. But anyway, with a ventriloquist, with two people, one is the ventriloquist.
Yeah.
And one of them is the dummy.
Yeah, which one are you?
I am the ventriloquist.
And he's a real big one, too, Ken.
Oh, Homer, you embarrass me in front of all these people. You're just saying that.
No, I'm not. You are.
We don't need that kind of comment. We want to tell them the best book in the whole world. You knew what the best book was?
Yeah.
You better sing about it.
All right. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E.
That's still a good song, the B-I-B-L-E. It is the best book, isn't it, huh?
Yes, it is. And I hope everybody reads it every day.
Do you think it'll do them some good to read it every day?
Yeah, buddy, they'll learn a lot.
That's right. They'll learn what God wants them to do in their life, right?
Yeah. I hope the boys and girls will read it. I know they will.
Now, how do you know?
If they don't, I'm going to knock them out on their head.
No. You don't get any way. You don't get away with doing things like that. You have to encourage people to do, like reading the Bible and stuff like that. You can't force people to do that.
Oh. Well, I hope they will.
I do, too. I'm glad you came. We have to hurry along. Can you say goodbye to everybody?
Oh, yeah. Will they say it back to me?
I think they will. Say goodbye to everybody.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Henry, you say goodbye to everybody.
Goodbye, Brother Earl Clemens.
I didn't say goodbye to Earl Clemens. I said say goodbye to everybody.
He thinks he's everybody.
Oh, you're in trouble again.
Well, I'm not. You are again.
Well, somebody say goodbye to everybody this time.
Oh, goodbye, everybody. Goodbye. You all be good now. Don't forget to go to Sunday school and church.
And don't forget vacation Bible school.
And don't forget to Sunday school.
And Sunday school, that's right.
And don't forget to
you know what? He reminds me of another redhead. He keeps his mouth shut.
You better get down to your box before you get in bad trouble, boys.
Okay.
Now, Henry, we had you talking. And we told you to be quiet when you get in the box. And so, at Sunday school, so now you just be quiet and no talking, okay?
Okay.
Henry, I said no talking. Lay still.
Okay.
Henry! Be quiet. Don't talk.
Okay.
Henry! You heard me.
I'm going to drink the water.
No. I'm not going to give you a drink of water. Just lay there. Henry, I said no water.
But I'm thirsty.
Henry, will you be quiet? No talking.
But I want to drink water.
Henry,
If you speak out from that box one more time, I'm going to come in there and whip you. You didn't have anything else, did you? Well, as you can see, we have a little bit of fun with the kids, and I make no apology for that. I believe that the church of tomorrow are the children of today. When Brother Earl, and I don't mean to single him out, but after all, Henry and Homer did. When Brother Earl was in the first grade, nobody could say that he would be one to get up and read the scripture at that time. Who knows what the future holds for any of us? And yet, there's a lot of people who down young people. And may I try to be a little encouraging? I don't mean to discourage you. I saw some teenage boys here in your church, and this is a good sign. This is a good sign. I will have to admit to you, there are some boys and girls who have to have an incentive to come to church. It may be because of their peers who do not darken the door of a church. It could be for other reasons why they don't come. But you give them an incentive. A basketball team, a softball team. After all, some people come to church for just good singing. You have a sing, church will be full. You call for a supper, and the church is full. I don't know what all you would include in your services, but for adults, we have to have other incentives to come and to be faithful and to be regular. And yet we condemn young people. Oh, the only reason those teenagers come is to play ball. Well, let me quickly tell you, as a father and also as a pastor for 29 years at the Jack's Branch Bible Church, I had many, many young people. We did not have a basketball league over there for a number of years when I was working in Clay County. Now we do. Now I won't go into that. But there was a young man who was going to a church in a community near his home, and he said to his mother, and she's a very good Christian woman, he said, "Mother, I'm going to quit going to your church. I want to go over to Preacher Bill's church." And she said, "Why? We've got a good church. I want to play basketball. I love basketball, and he's got a basketball team, and I want to play basketball." He had no interest whatsoever at that moment. He had no interest whatsoever in church as such. But as he began to come and to be faithful, because you could not play on the team unless you were regular every Sunday. And so he became interested. He finally accepted the Lord as his Savior. And then we began to use him in small capacities. It maybe took the offering. Sunday school assistant, different things, and then he worked at our Bible camp, and I can go into a lot of detail. Right now, that young man has gone off to Bible college. He has studied to be able to explain the gospel to boys and girls, and he and his wife have come back now. A mountain boy has come back to the mountains, and today he is the camp director of Youth Haven Bible Camp. And I'm just as proud of him as my own two sons. And one of my own two sons is planning to come back to Kentucky. My point in all of this is, we parents, we fathers, have a big responsibility. I don't know how much you have, you know, to do with Father's Day. And yet we need to honor our fathers. We need to be reminded, as fathers, what our responsibility is. I remember as a boy, I couldn't have been over 4 or 5 years of age. My father was walking, had just stepped out of the house and was going back into the field behind our house. We lived out in the country. And he started walking out with his gun. And just as he had walked out, I said, "Where's Daddy going, Mom?" And she said, "Oh, he just stepped out the back there." And so I quickly ran and put on my coat, and I ran out. There was a snow on the ground, not too heavy, but it was big. And so as I started to try to catch up with Dad, naturally with his big steps, I had to go to the steps of his, you know. And he looked back and saw me coming. And he started taking smaller steps. Ones that would fit my foot. And I didn't realize it. And I said, "Boy, I caught up with you real quick, Dad." Only because Daddy saw the importance of making steps that would be easy for me. Think about it. I don't know that I'm saying this for any benefit of anyone that is present, but it is possible that in a church this size that some adults do not see any need for activities for young people. Activities that they themselves, the adults themselves, would see no benefit in. But let me just remind you, I want to encourage you, work with your young people. Even though you may not fully understand or agree with everything, as long as it's decent and clean, I gotta go one more step. We have over in Clay County a Christian Youth Center. This is a building built exclusively or expressly for youth in Clay County. Because in Clay County, I don't know about your county, in Clay County there is no place to roller skate. In Clay County there is no miniature golf. In Clay County there is no basketball. There is no gymnasium. There was no gymnasium, and there's only one right now that can be used. The schools cannot use their basketball courts as some counties might. Our school board says no because the boys came in and tore things up. And I don't blame the board, the school board. But my point is, we went ahead and built a gymnasium big enough for two basketball courts side by side. And right now, we have 55 basketball teams in that. And you have to be in church the Sunday before your game, or you don't play. Do you know what those boys do? And girls. We have girls' teams and men's teams. We have 55 teams, count them in your head. There's at least 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people on each team. So how many people are getting in church? As far as I'm concerned, if we don't work with the young people, we might as well close our doors and say, what good is the church if we're not working to reach the lost and reach the young people that are out there, for they are the ones of the future. The scripture that I wanted to show you this morning is found in Luke chapter 22. I'll not read all of it. We've had scripture reading this morning, but I want to read to you three verses in Luke chapter 22. This is a story of Simon Peter. I'm sure you know the whole story, and just giving you glimpses will be adequate. In Luke 22, verse 31 through 34, tells the story of Simon Peter and an experience that he had with the Lord. It says, and I repeat it for the sake of children, Luke 22:31. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And he said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death." And he said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Peter was impetuous. Peter was the one that would always speak out. When Jesus said, "Peter, I'm having to pray for you because Satan is desiring to sift you as wheat." In other words, he's trying to tear up your life, and you don't even recognize it. And Peter proved he didn't recognize it. Peter said, "Why, Lord, what do you mean? You don't need to pray for me. You need to pray for all those people out there that need help. I don't need any help. I'm ready to go to prison or to death. Don't you realize that, Lord?" Sure, the Lord knew. He knew everything, didn't he? And so, Peter, you're the one that don't know. You're the one that's missing out. You ought to know that the devil can take a life and ruin it if you let him do it, if you don't watch out. There are downward steps in the life of a human being that if we don't watch out, we may even be on some of those steps ourselves. And if we're not on those steps ourselves, then maybe we're showing by poor example how others are to live, and maybe they are going down some of those steps. He needed to learn on those downward steps, because he self-confidently says, "Why, Lord, I'm ready to go to prison or to death. You don't need to pray for me. Though all men be offended," he says in another place in the Bible, "not me." The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Be careful when you get so much confidence in yourself. I'm not fearful of the person who has confidence in the Lord. I'm not fearful for a person who says, "I put my faith in the Lord. And Lord willing, I'll do this. And Lord willing, I'll do that." But the person who says, "I'm going to do this, and you can depend on me, because I'm something." Watch out. That's the way Peter was. Peter was confident in his own ability, and he needed to learn a lesson. Looks like he would have already done so. For when Jesus was walking on the water, Peter was the one who said, "Lord, if it is you, let me come to you." Now, don't bawl him out too bad, because he failed. He did walk on the water for a while. What was the matter with the rest of them? Why didn't they all follow him and go out there on the water? Peter was the only one who had enough impetuous faith to say, "I'll go." But when he got out and he started walking, and instead of keeping his eyes on the Lord, and he had confidence in himself. For when he got his eyes off the Lord and saw the trouble coming, the big waves, he began to sink, right? Watch out. Because when you get so much confidence in yourself and in your own ability, then you're on your downward steps. There's downward steps, and that's the first one. And do you ever find yourself saying, "Why, I can serve the Lord. I'm capable. What do you want me to do, preacher?" I kind of like for a person to say to me, "You need a Sunday school teacher? I don't know, preacher. I better go home and pray about this." But the person comes up and says, "What do you want me to do, preacher? I can do anything." Watch out. Watch out. The person that has that kind of confidence has got, maybe, I'm not saying they do, I'm saying it's a thing to be warned about. Maybe they've got confidence in their own ability and they're not really trusting the Lord. I don't know about your pastor, but every time I get in the pulpit, and I've been preaching for over 30 years, every time I get in the pulpit, my knees begin to shake. Knots begin to tear up in my stomach. And you say, "Wait a minute, you've been doing it for 30 years. Yeah, but I'm going to tell you, if the knots don't come and if the knees don't knock and you stand up in the front of a Sunday school class and you're not a bit afraid, that means that you don't depend on the Lord. You're depending on yourself. For when your knees are knocking, you're saying, 'Hey, I'm not capable. Lord, I got to have help. Lord, help me.'" Peter didn't need help. Old self-confident Peter, look out. You're in trouble. The Lord said, "Say, I need some disciples to go with me for prayer." And all of his disciples went. And then he took his inner circle of disciples, Peter, James, and John, a little further. And they all knelt down to pray. And he says, "Now pray. I'm going by myself a little bit further." Do you remember what Peter and the other two disciples did when Jesus came back? You remember they were asleep? "Oh, I can do anything." Have you ever caught yourself praying and fall asleep? Obviously, it wasn't very important what you was praying about. Isn't it true? Now, come on, be honest with me. If somebody has really had a serious car accident, and you're sitting there in the waiting room of the hospital, you don't fall asleep praying. If they're up there almost to die and they're your loved one, don't tell me you fall asleep praying for that one. That's a tragedy. Oh, it's easy to pray, you know, when there's something serious, something important. But boy, when you've got everything under control, "Why, yeah, I'll be glad to pray with you, preacher. Sure, let's pray." And there are Christians who spiritually fall asleep, though their eyes may be open in the church service. You know what I mean by falling asleep spiritually? Ladies, don't take too much offense to this. Preacher's saying, "Let's turn to page so-and-so. I sure wish he'd hurry. I got my beans on and my potatoes. I wonder if things are going to burn before I get back there. And you ladies know exactly what I'm talking about. The devil will get you thinking about everything under the sun, right? Sure. And we go to sleep spiritually. And that's the downward step. I know that's just one act. I'm talking about a trend. I'm talking about the trend of going down the steps that the devil is trying to lead everyone into in getting them away from serving the Lord by having confidence in Him. Ah, we fall asleep. Peter did, and so don't say you can't do it. Don't say it can't be done. And then they came to grab Jesus, and the disciples, the Bible says, they all forsook Him and fled, including Peter, including the man that says, Lord, I'm willing and ready to go to death or to prison with You. I am capable of doing anything. And he deserted. And don't bawl him out too heavily. All the others deserted too. Every one of them went away. The Bible says so. And what have you done? Have you deserted the Lord? When you're in with a crowd, I'm talking to the high schoolers, in with a crowd and they're saying something that you know is not right and it's going to be some kind of a dirty or suggestive joke, do you just sit there or do you walk away? Do you get up and walk away if you have to? Oh, well, I don't want to really embarrass anybody, so I'll just sit there and listen. Uh-uh. What should the Christian do? We desert Him. We desert the Lord when that takes place in our life. Peter deserted the Lord. Oh, but now wait a minute. The Bible says that he followed right in this same chapter, preacher. Okay, let's look at it. Luke 22, verse 54. It says, then took they him, took Jesus, and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed. There you see it, preacher. I said, yeah, but did you read the rest of it? It says that Peter followed afar off. Oh, Peter, it had been better if you had not followed than to follow afar off. You say you're following? It'd been better because you're going to get yourself in trouble when time of testing comes for you to say, yes, you're a Christian. And it so happens. Here he is, deserting the Lord, but he wants to stay close by. And when he's warming his hands around the fire, some young lady says, or whatever, hey, I know you, don't I know you? Haven't I seen you somewhere before? Why, yes, you've been with Jesus. Not me. I don't even know the man. Can't you hear him? Well, that's just one. Oh, well, you know, everybody makes a mistake. Sure, I failed to give witness. I deserted the Lord, and here I am telling him no. Hey, Peter, get out of that bad crowd. Oh, well, I'm capable of caring for myself. I can take care of myself. I just want to warm my hands around the fire a little more. Wait a minute. We do know you. You're a Galilean. Your speech betrays you. Oh, you know what it says in John chapter 19? Peter did not want his speech to sound like Jesus, so he began to curse. Let me ask you. You ever use the name of the Lord in vain? Oh, my God. Oh, God. As far as I'm concerned, when we do that, we are actually doing what Peter did. He cursed. He said things that a Christian, it's not the vocabulary of a Christian. And Peter deserted for three times when they asked him, aren't you one of his? No, I am not. And when the third time came, the rooster crowed. And immediately Peter remembered, the Bible says, if you want to look at it in verse 61, Peter remembered the word of the Lord just as soon as he heard that. He'd already gone down the steps of self-confidence, of falling spiritually asleep, of deserting the Lord, of being in a bad crowd, denying the Lord three times. He's already gone through all of that. And now what's he going to do? He remembers. When the rooster crows, he remembers. And the Bible says, and I guess it's best that we read it,